You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
My mic is muted. We're just all over the place here. But welcome to the show, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. I am Mike Heck. Jed Meshew joins us as well on this Sunday morning. Jed, how are you, my friend?
It was a great start. It's a fantastic start, Mike. Doing great, buddy. Look, a couple of important things. One, UFC 299 was awesome. And I'm always happy the morning after like a really great event, because even though we were up until ungodly hours, it was worth it. It was sick. And two, this is a gift. You've given me a great gift, Mike, because I don't have to listen to on to the next one this week. And I love to have one less podcast on my feed to have to work through, because I don't listen to myself. Why would I ever do that? And we're going to talk this through, and then I can forget about this ever happening. It'll be great.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear a lot of what you said because I'm trying to fix my audio issues, but I expect it was a tremendous bit of commentary, and now I think we're good to go. So if you are new to the program, normally we do this in podcast form. Normally AK is here, but Jed has valiantly stepped up in his absence. AK is taking a well-deserved vacation. We're going to do some matchmaking here. We're going to do future matchups for Sean O'Malley, the bantamweight champion of the world, Marlon Vera following his loss. We'll also talk about what's next for Dustin Poirier following his incredible win over Benoit Saint-Denis. We'll talk about what's next for BSD as well. We'll talk about the rest of the main card winners. We will have a wild card round. We'll select one fighter we have not match made for yet. And then at the very end, we're going to hear from you all. We're going to get your picks. If there is a fight that we're talking about and you have a suggestion within the fight we're discussing, throw it up there. We'll pull the comments. We'll pull it up on the old screen here, and you can see them. We'll react to them, and we'll go from there. So let us begin with the main event. Let us begin with the bantamweight champion, Sean O'Malley. Sweeps the scorecards, two 50-45s and a 50-44 against Marlon Vera. It was a great performance, spectacular. And Sean O'Malley retains the belt, gets on the microphone. We were wondering who he was going to call out. Merab was dressed all Miami-like, sitting cage side, and Sean O'Malley just pretty much no-sells him. He does mention his name, but he pretty much no-sells him. He says, yo, Dana, I want to go to Spain. I'm going to go fight Ilia Topuria. And then was basically like, I mean, if you want me to fight Merab, I'll go knock him out. But Topuria is the fight that excites you the most. So are we doing a trip to Spain for Sean O'Malley? Because I think the UFC would entertain this, although Dana White kind of shot it down a little bit. I think mostly because they don't have a venue, they don't have a date, and something that you say a lot, holding up both of these divisions, especially right now, is a tough time to do it. So, is it Merab? Is it Topuria? Is the UFC going to do something crazy here?
UFC is not going to do anything crazy, and Mike, We've been friends a long time. We've been doing this a hot minute. it's not Topuria, at least not for me. I don't believe that that is what will happen. I believe what will happen is what I want to happen. So both magic wand and crystal ball here, it's Mrav Dvalishvili. He's done the thing, Mike. He did the thing that we implore everyone to do. I'm still not really sure how it worked, other than that Mrav does have personality and has let it be shown. But he's over. He has gotten over with the fans following the Cejudo thing. I mean, he had his 18-minute post-fight interview after the Cejudo performance, and no one cared because he is almost as over as you can get for a man in his position. And Dana comes out, and we know this, Mike. Dana doesn't matchmake after fight nights. He didn't do it last night. He, in fact, explicitly told, I think it was Oscar, it was like, yeah, I won't know anything until Tuesday because I don't matchmake on fight nights. But at 298, he did matchmake. He matchmade for Mrav Dvalishvili and said he's got next. I think he's got next. It's the right call. And I got to tell you, I am more interested in that fight now than I was a couple of days ago. Because a couple of days ago, do you ask me that fight, I say Marab's the best bantamweight in the world. I believe he just does Marab things to Sean O'Malley. After last night, I am very much questioning that. I am much more interested in that matchup. So let's do it. Let's rock out, baby.
Yeah, we don't even need to cue up the music here. It's just the right fight. Now, if, again, and we talked about this a lot on the post-fight show last night, you know my opinion on this. If Sean is like, yeah, and I'm fighting Topuria and nobody else, I'm okay with it, but vacate the bantamweight title. Go vacate. And if you want to become a 45er and fight for that belt, power to you. But Mrav should be fighting somebody else for the vacant title if he wants to do that. But I don't think he's going to do that. I think he will fight Mrav. I'm completely with you. If you asked me about that fight like 6 months ago, I kind of would have been like, I don't know if I would have laughed at you, because I would have just basically thought Mrav would just ragdoll Sean and wouldn't be competitive. But I don't feel that way anymore. I don't feel that way anymore. I think Sean O'Malley would – I think he'd probably be the underdog by fight time. And if you're giving me Sean O'Malley at plus money against anybody, maybe outside of Ilya Topuria, I'd probably take a good look at it. So, yeah, I'm very interested to see what that fight looks like. So the pick is Mrav Dvalishvili. That's what we deserve. That's what the world deserves. That's what these divisions deserve. And hopefully we get what we deserve and what we want. Now, on the flip side, we have Marlon Vera. Cheeto goes in there, had moments, did hurt Sean at the very end of the fight with a nasty body shot. But in the end, did not go very well for Marlon Vera. It's going to be a long road getting back to a title shot, I think, for him, especially considering how he got this title shot to begin with. It was just a rivalry that needed to be kind of settled. And in Sean's eyes, this thing settled. He 50-44'd him. There's nothing really more he needs to do. This was kind of difficult to actually land on somebody, Jed, because
it's just not
really a truly wrong answer here. You throw Mrav in there with anybody and I'm going to watch it. So I ultimately landed on, it's kind of a cop-out. I'm probably not getting it at no point unless this lands exact. I'm going to go with a fight that they tried to book in August. It didn't pan out. Marlon Vera earned a title shot, not by beating this man, but by beating Pedro Munhoz instead. I'm going to go Henry Cejudo. Henry Cejudo is the pick. I think Cejudo Moreno is like the fight that I would rather see, because it's just a rivalry fight. It doesn't hold up any divisions. It's just two guys who are kind of out of the title picture fighting each other. So that'd be like my first choice, but I just don't know if they're going to pull the trigger. So my answer is, if they don't do Cejudo versus Moreno, Cheeto versus Cejudo is my pick. Where are you at?
I can't do Cejudo, even though I think that there's a big real chance that that happens, because I was on this program not that long ago, and I was at 4298 filling in for you that time. You had taken your well-earned vacation, and I had originally had a choice, and then AK and I talked it through, and I said, oh yeah, they got to do Cejudo Moreno. And honestly, they probably do it at the Sphere. It's just part of that. And so I got to stick with that. I settled on what I think is the right answer, Mike. I don't know that it's what will happen, but it's what should happen in a just and fair world. Piotr Jan's out there calling for this fight. It makes some sense. No. We got a fight coming up, Mike. And a man's going to lose that fight. And that man's name is Cody Garbrandt. He's going to lose that fight to Davison Figueiredo. And after he loses that fight to Davison Figueiredo, we need to have him fight Cheeto Vera, because one, I'm going to continue to book Cody Garbrandt against huge hitters because it will never stop being funny to me. And two, he actually can win this fight. Like, if it's a main event, Cheeto, I would certainly pick Cheeto. But if it's just three rounds, Cheeto is the slowest starter in history. Cody's going to win one. Like, Cody can win by doing a lot of the good in and out boxing Sean just did, but he can also go night night real fast, like real fast. So I'm deeply intrigued by this fight. And as I was kind of working through the possibles, I was like, oh yeah, it's pretty on brand for me to book Cody Garbrandt against Cheeto after he gets knocked out by Davison Figueiredo.
That is probably the least surprising answer you've ever given on any of these programs.
It's on brand.
That was minus 800 on Cody Garbrandt for your pick.
I like to watch Cody Garbrandt fight dudes who bonk real hard. It's deeply fun to me.
I have a feeling this fight is going, Cody's next fight is going to come up a little bit later on, so stay tuned. But how about the MVP of UFC 299? As good as Sean O'Malley was, he was not the MVP of the card. That moniker belongs to Dustin the Diamond Poirier. What a G. Goes out there, has a tough first round, but still very competitive. Him and BSD was everything we hoped for and more. And then he just annihilates BSD, knocks him dead. The follow-up shot was so vicious. I watched it again this morning. Just absolutely brutal. And Dustin Poirier just planted his flag. He sent a message to the rest of these lightweights trying to vie for Islam Makhachev. Ali Abdelaziz takes to Twitter and says, Dustin, you took a big risk. You went back and you fought a dangerous guy. You knocked him out. Islam's fighting in June. Let's do that. You said it on the post-fight show. You had a couple hours to sleep on it. Are you still with Dustin Poirier to get the title shot after this knockout win?
Yep, I think he's getting it. It seems very clear to me that that is what is going to happen here, and I don't have an issue with it. It would not be my choice, right? My choice would be, and I said it, even though everyone is very excited about it, I want Justin Gaethje to get his day. He's fought for the title before, certainly, but I believe he deserves to fight for the title. And this Max fight is a derivation from that for reasons that are best known to him. I assume they are monetary. But that's happening. And so since that's not happening anymore, Poirier makes a ton of sense because I think the timeline is just right. Would astonish me if either Gaethje or Max Holloway came out of that fight ready to turn around in 6-7 weeks, whatever it is to June when Islam will be fighting. And if Arman Tsarukyan beats Charles Oliveira, he could, like, there's very much a world where he comes out of that clean and I guess could make the turnaround, but I don't mind letting that fight build a little more. It would still feel rushed either way. So Poirier is not rushed. Poirier is a legend. People love him. I don't think anyone will be that upset about it. And this is the type of performance that somewhat justifies it. So I'm in. It's where I'm going. I think Islam knows that. He tweeted immediately after. Like, this is where the momentum is. I believe this is Dustin Poirier's title fight to lose at this point.
Yeah. I mean, again, we don't need to cue up the band. I think this is where they're going to go. There is one caveat to all of this. Is Islam Makhachev, in fact, fighting in June? That we don't know, because Islam has put out many dates over the last years and only one of them has come to fruition. We knew he was going to fight in Abu Dhabi.
I'd be really
He laid out sort of a timeline of like how this year was going to look, and none of it has happened yet. Absolutely none of it. So if he is fighting in June, there you go. But when in June? Because if they're
June, I know 22nd. You're on
you think they're going to do it in Saudi?
The Riyadh card, yeah. Okay. I would be truly astonished. Well, that's an ABC event, so it's not a pay-per-view, but it is the broadest free quote unquote distribution. I would genuinely be shocked if Saudi does not get Islam, because it makes all the sense in the world. There's the inherent rivalry with Saudi and UAE, and Islam has made a home there with Abu Dhabi. I think that they want it, regardless of what Dana says. It is obviously true that Saudi was like, hey, this card you're trying to feed us on March 2nd or whatever week that was, is like, this is garbage. We're not taking it. They want something big. They want something mega. There are a few things more mega than Islam. I would be genuinely shocked if he is not on that card.
Yeah, Dana talking about this card, but I mean, these things always change on a whim, on a dime, was asked like multiple times, like, is the Saudi card going to have a title fight? And he said no. But that, again, that could all change. If His Excellency wants a freaking title fight and they're going to pay for a title fight, they're getting a freaking title fight. So,
yeah. You think Dana's telling Turkey no? Come on.
Yeah.
It particularly when the alternative is like Islam needs to fight sometime in this timeline. Is he going to headline Jersey? What? No.
Yeah. He won't be fighting International Fight Week. Do you hold until July? I think the longer you wait, you might as well just, again, he'll run into the same issue we ran into last year. Beats Volk. We waited till October for Abu Dhabi. At that point, you're just going to wait for Abu Dhabi for Islam at that point. So, yeah, I think Poirier's got the fast track right now. If this fight if Islam is fighting in June, it's Dustin Poirier now.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
We go to Benoit Saint-Denis, who, yes, he got knocked out. Yes, he lost. But we knew, even as brutish, if you will, as Benoit Saint-Denis is, we've seen him fight. He's raw. He's a bit green. He's an animal. But he has defensive deficiencies, especially with his striking. So we knew this was going to happen. Like, we knew there was a potential that this fight could end the way that it ended. And it did. But he will be back, and he's going to be more dangerous. So I am going to be real specific about this matchmaking here. November 2024, Madison Square Garden, New York City, opening fight of the main card. Benoit Saint-Denis versus the returning Rafael Fiziev is going to be the opening fight of UFC 312 or whatever the frig it's going to be. We start off strong. We open up the main card with BSD versus Rafael Fiziev. That's what I'm going with. I don't know if it's going to happen, but that's what I'm going with because that fight rules.
It would be 308, by the way.
308.
Because 306 is the Sphere pay-per-view in September, so November would be 308. I like that. I didn't even consider that. In my head, Fiziev's just like gone because he has been gone, injury or whatever. It's a really fun matchup. It is not the direction I went. I kind of knew when you started that we weren't going to be the same thing. And I am going to guess that there are a fair number of folk who reached out to you or are going to reach out to you in the ensuing bit of time here with this. Because I did not dig too deep into the well. BSD just lost. He got a big opportunity to move up the ranks, but I would like him to defend backwards a little bit. And he's a chaos merchant, and I want him to fight somebody else who's chaos merchant. And wouldn't you know it, there's one of those guys hanging around without a fight. His name's Drew Dober. Put these two dudes in there and let them get grimy. Be fun as hell, baby.
Yeah. I think that could look very similar. I mean, it would definitely be grimier, but actually the 6 foot stand-up exchange would be fun. Drew Dober's got to shore up that takedown defense real quick. There's going to be a rough, rough night for him. But I like it. If that's where they go, fun. I'm fine with it.
It's just a real fun fight, man. All like this for this one, I was like, I don't need to worry about rankings. It's like, look, who's the most fun dude I can have who's not like currently booked right now for being steel? Like, yeah, this works. This works.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to pull this up. What if Armin or Oliveira get done quick and are fit to turn around for June? Then Poirier doesn't get the title shot. And in Abu Dhabi, it would be Gaethje or Holloway. Who does Dustin fight? Oh, that's kind of tough to answer.
If
you don't know what the division is going to look like then.
So I believe that there's a very real chance that the UFC just announces a lightweight title fight prior to 300. Because again, it's 7 weeks, I think, from maybe it's full eight. I'd have to like pull up the calendar and count. It is a short turnaround, and there is a world where one of the four men of the two lightweight fights on UFC 300 come out clean and can make that turnaround, but it's so quick. And like in general, fighters prefer to have 10 to 12 week fight camp. So you're not getting that. You're getting less time for the build, and specifically for Islam, even if they come to him like, hey, you're fighting this week, but we don't know exactly who it's going to be yet. Yeah, you can do it, but there's no need there. Any of the dudes there don't need to turn around and fight in June. They can just be the guy who gets to weigh in as the backup fighter in there. And Poirier, no one's going to be upset about Poirier getting. So I think he has the inside track, but that is open. Like there is still certainly a window where someone can jump in.
Would you like BSD versus Gamrot?
It'd be fun. I don't know what to do with Matush Gamrot. I love him so much, but he is so weird because it's pretty clear to me the UFC doesn't want him fighting for a title despite letting him weigh in as a backup fighter. And I get it. Like, I don't agree, but I understand. And so BSD would be kind of good in that regard because I think he's got a good chance there. But also, would it astonish you if Gamrot just Gamrotted all over BSD? And then it's like, no, okay, well, our fun, exciting dude's now lost two in a row. This sucks. Like, it's just hard to match make for BSD right now. I did not pick him for Gamrot. I did not pick him for my wild card in case you were wondering.
I also didn't.
I think, honestly, that would make sense for Fazeev because the first fight's the knee injury or whatever. So they could have like a real clean, like settle this up, do it. UFC's been doing a couple of those injury weird rematches. It would appear Curtis Blaydes might get the same thing again. That fight would make sense for me.
Well, let's move ahead to Michael Venom Page makes his UFC debut, beats Kevin Holland pretty clean, landed some big shots. Kevin Holland is so tough, but well, it's always not the prettiest when Michael Page delivers a winning performance. Boy, Kevin Holland's body language at the end of that fight was, I mean, it wrote a book. It wrote a freaking novel. Man was completely frustrated. Never seen Holland like that in a fight. Even when he's fighting wrestlers at 185 and getting taken down over and over again, he was never as frustrated as he was last night. And Page comes through, successful win. We're wondering if he could come through with a huge performance. Maybe he jumps the line because you know the UFC doesn't want Bilal Muhammad fighting for the welterweight title for one reason or another. But MVP didn't call for it, didn't call for anything big. He said, look, I still got work to do. I'm here. We're going to make things happen, but I ain't ready yet. So what do you like next for Michael Venom Page after this win?
I just want to say, Mike, the most animated I was on last night's post show was talking about MVP because the amount of backlash that came at this man, I slept on it. I still don't understand it. There were people who were impressed by the performance. There were, if you go watch the pros react, also a number of dudes who were like embarrassing. That's not fighting. He's running. Like, I don't know what you were watching. That to me, even members of our own staff were like, oh, it was a trash fight. Trash fight is a direct quote, which is an insane thing to say about what happened, because guys, we've all seen Kevin Holland fist fight before. Have you ever seen Kevin Holland fist fight while shutting the hell up? Because I haven't until last night. Then he was shutting the hell up because he's getting his ass beat. Like it was an objectively impressive performance from a dude in his UFC debut. The only reason that he did not get a finish in that fight is Kevin Holland's real tough. Kevin Holland's been knocked out one time in his career. It was the TKO against Wonder Boy after four rounds of a similar looking ass whooping. If that had four rounds, wouldn't shock me at all if Kevin Holland's corner was like, dude, we're not sending you out for a fifth of that. He beat him pillar to post, but for the one time where he tripped doing something real dumb and Kevin Holland ended up on top for a minute. And people are going to hate this. There's going to be a lot of backlash to this one, Mike. And I got to tell you, I don't care. This doesn't deserve to happen, but I think there's a very real chance that this does happen. And if it does, I'm here for it because it will make some people's heads explode. And I think that that will be funny. I've gone ahead and booked him against Leon Edwards for the welterweight.
Oh my God.
I've done it. I've committed to it. I feel great about it, Mike. I don't have any issues at all with it. They're going to go back to England this summer. England on England violence. Just have it headline. It'll be terrific. It'll be so funny because it might be the worst fist fight you've ever seen. It'll just be great. Think of the visuals of MVP standing with his hands down by his ankles, 18 feet away from Leon, and Leon just staring at him. It's like, I'm totally okay not punching and not stepping forward. If you are, bro, I'll do this for 25. I ain't got no issues. It'd be great. I've gone this way for a number of reasons. One, I do think that there is legitimate build now and a legitimate shot that Shavkat ends up fighting Jack Della Maddalena. But we'll talk about that in a moment, not how I'm picking. But mostly I think that the UFC doesn't know what they want to do at welterweight for whatever reasons. And MVP presents a easy and simple, fun sort of choice for them that they may just take the low-hanging fruit instead of having to make the choice that they are currently facing.
So I'm torn. I'm torn on this one. I didn't do it. I didn't do Leon. I couldn't. I just couldn't. If MVP had come out and like fired up a promo or something, I might lean towards it. But this was a, hey man, I got work to do. I ain't there. So I ultimately landed with Jeff Neal for MVP because I just think that's a fun fight. I honestly don't. I think they might do something a little different here. My other option was I do think Vicente Luque is going to beat Joaquin Buckley, and MVP versus Vicente Luque could be pretty damn fun. So I think it's going to be like one of those two guys, but I'm going to go with Jeff Neal. If Jeff can turn around relatively quickly, I do expect MVP to fight when they go to Manchester in July. It's not going to be a pay-per-view. It's going to be a fight night. He might even headline that event. So yeah, it's going to be one of those guys.
Here's my question, because I spent some time thinking about this before I was like, YOLO, whatever. Do you think those fights get MVP a title shot? Because I do think that they want to accelerate the timeline here for MVP. I think that would make sense for them to be like, it totally get it if they don't give him a title fight right now. If they don't give him a title fight, I feel like they're just going to give him one that a win that they can get him over as a title contender. He's 36, and they kind of want Michael Chandler.
Like, I think you would have to fight Colby.
That's my backup. That was the other answer I had written down. You obviously have much more experience with Colby. In my head, Colby might take that fight, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Colby should pivot to this 100%.
I certainly should pivot to this.
Yeah.
But, and like, I think that he would do that. It's like, okay, all I have to do is tackle him. I saw Logan Storley hang onto his ankles for 25 minutes and win a garbage decision. I can do better than that, surely. And so like kind of feel like that actually is the line that they would take. I just didn't know if Colby would accept it, even though I think he should.
I see a lot of people suggesting this one fight, and I saw it on Twitter. People are DMing me, MVP versus Wonderboy. And while
never happened,
I get it. These two, they're buds. They're not going to fight each other unless it's for a belt. If MVP like wins the welterweight title and Wonderboy wins a couple in a row, that's the only, I think that's honestly, knowing both guys, especially Wonderboy the way that I do, I don't think that fight happens unless it's for the belt.
Yeah, I agree. So. I don't think that fight ever happens. Also, just want to be so clear, guys. You don't want that fight to happen. That fight would be awful to watch. Like they'd just be karateing each other, which means they would never contact each other. Because every time MVP leaps in, Steven would leap away and vice versa. They would just be hopping around, not hitting each other.
Yeah. But options aplenty for Michael Venom Page, and we'll see how it all plays out. Are you going JDM Shavkat? Because I feel like we're on the same page here.
I'm not going JDM Shavkat.
You're not?
I'm not.
I love the call-out, by the way. It's spectacular. It was a spectacular call-out.
And it's a great call-out. I think it immediately got people interested, which is the sign of a good call-out. I did not, very specifically, because though I have said for a long time now, I think this is all going to break cleanly. Bilal's going to get his title shot, the title shot he deserves. It's tough for me to say that if I'm going to put MVP into a title fight. So what we've done instead, they're going to make Bilal fight again. At this point, it seems like they just kind of are because they hate him. And if they're going to make him fight again, Bilal will fight a lot of folk. And Bilal will fight Shavkat. And if Bilal beats Shavkat, he cannot be denied a title fight. The winner of that is the most dyed-in-the-wool title contender. So I am choosing to live in this world where Bilal and Shavkat fight because they are the UFC is just going to make that happen. And so where I've gone for JDM is actually the fight that I think makes the most sense for him, even despite the good call out. And it's Sean Brady. I think that is a fight I'm deeply interested in. I don't know if you need to explain too much. Sean Brady's open right now. I keep wanting to say JDM and MVP and mix up. We have seen JDM have saw like Basil Hafiz came in on short notice, so it's different, but it was very, very difficult for him. Gilbert Burns had a lot of success against JDM with the grappling. Sean Brady, he's going to be a hell on wheels for JDM in there. It's a sort of developmental step up I'd like to see. And I think I want to see Sean Brady stay in the mix. I think it's a good way to do it.
Man, can you imagine if we get a poster and it's Bilal and Shavkat? Golly, that would be wild.
I genuinely think there's a real chance that this happens.
Oh, man. I think JDM might have done Bilal a favor, too, in some regard, but with that call-out. So, I love it. It just depends. Like, are they going to do... Because I could see them doing Leon Bilal in Newark in June. Like, I could see that fight being the main event of that card. I can see it. So, I think that's kind of like what Bilal should be hoping
just,
for
just
right
the
now.
Most forgettable pay-per-view of all time. It makes sense.
Hey, the last pay-per-view in Newark was also forgettable. UFC 288. Not good. Not good at all. So let's
they
go
hate Newark, as does God and the rest of the world. So it's okay.
Good airport, though, I must say. Let's go to Piotr Jan. Bounces back. Avoids a four-fight losing streak. Fun-ass fight with Song Yadong. Song has proven he can hang with all these guys. He's just missing a little something. Just a little something to get him over the hump, but he's coming. But Piotr Jan just grits down. Tremendous third round. You could see the weight lifted off of his shoulders when Bruce Buffer announced him the winner when that third round ended. I am going with, and we mentioned this earlier, there's a fight coming up UFC 300 that I know is near and dear to your heart, Jed Meshew. It is Davison Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt. I'm going with the winner. I do think it's going to be Davison Figueiredo. Give me Piotr Jan versus Davison Figueiredo. That scratches me right where I itch.
How does it work if you've picked the winner of the fight and I've just preemptively picked Davison Figueiredo because I believe he's going to win the fight? Because we're in lockstep here. I don't know if we need to cue the band for this one. This feels a little open. Yeah, it feels a little obvious to me, but this is the call. I know Piotr Jan has called out Cheeto, and I think there's a really good chance that that does happen, but Cheeto should take some time off. He got the just tar whooped out of him. And Davison Figueiredo, Piotr Jan, that sounds real fun. Sounds real, real fun, man.
Yeah. Who foresaw Miami being so fired up for Jan? Florida loves Piotr Jan, man. They freaking love him. I was talking about this in the watch party. When Jan fought Sterling in the rematch in Jacksonville, outside of Khamzat Chimaev, Pierre Yan was the most over guy on the card. Like, it wasn't even close. They friggin' loved him in Jacksonville. Absolutely loved him.
People loved Piotr Jan. Like, that there was a reason. I said this on No Bets Barred this week. It was like 3 years ago or whatever, whenever Henry Cejudo, I guess 2019, when Henry Cejudo retired, Dana didn't even pretend to care. Like, that evening, literally within minutes of Henry being like, I'm retired unless they give me a great reason to stay, Dana goes to the post-fight presser and he's like, so Henry's out of here. This was like not that long after the whole Khabib situation or whatever. Hey, Henry's just gone. We don't care about him. And that in 2 months or whatever, Piotr Jan's going to fight somebody for the belt. Because Piotr Jan was super popular and super good, and we thought he was going to be the dude to reign over this division for a long time. He has lost a bunch. It's been kind of weird for him, but that popularity and the belief that he is exceptional have not faded. He's still very much over.
Yeah, great fight, great performance. Man's back. He's ready to go.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, let's go to the wild card round, and then we're going to go to you guys for another wild card round. We will select one fighter we have not match made for yet, and we'll match make for him now. It could be someone from the prelims who picked up a big win. It could be someone from the main card who suffered a tough loss. What do we think, Jed? What's the wild card selection for UFC 299?
I'd like to tell you that I have a criticism of you, Mike Heck, and I wanted this to be the time that we brought this up because I am disappointed. 299 was such a stacked card. It feels wrong to just do one wild card here. Maybe you don't match make for every fight on the card, but it was so stacked. Like, for 300, you and AK gotta do match. You gotta match make for the whole card. There's no way around it. I mean, every one of these fights is at the minimum an Apex headliner. And call me crazy, right? But if you guys are going to match make for the winner of Yarzinho Rozenstrike versus Gaziev, I feel like we should be matchmaking for Kyler Phillips and Felipe Lins. I don't really care about, honestly. We should be matchmaking for all of these dudes, right? So it's my one criticism about this, though I do appreciate you not making me matchmake for all of them. I have three names. Yes. One, I'm just going to say, we do not need to talk about it. It would be the lowest on my totem pole. Shout out to Curtis Blaydes. Great win over Jailton Almeida. I think the call out was spot on. And you know what kings and heroes do? Tommy Aspinall was like, I'm game. Send me location, baby. Because he's not a coward. Unlike some other people masquerading around with a heavyweight championship over their shoulder. It's a great call out. That's a great one. I spent a lot of time trying to find the matchup for my grown adult son, Michel Pejeta. I couldn't find one because the matchup I want for him outside of any belt situation, I would very much like to see this man fight Dricus du Plessis. At some point in time, I need that to happen. It obviously can't because DDP is the champion, but that's a matchup between my two children. And while many people would hate to see their children fight, I would absolutely love to see my middleweight children fight. And so I had to go to another one that I think is just a deeply funny fight. This is, if I'm only allowed one, this is the one I'm picking, Mike. There's a man who did some impressive things on the undercard. This big man did some impressive things. Sure, Josh Parisian ran at him with his chin in the air, his hands down, like a total idiot who has no concept of fighting. But doesn't change the fact that Robles de España just killed a man, and it was awesome. And we can't rush him into anything, but what we can do are have comically fun fights with this man. And you know what's comically fun? To pair 6'7" Olympic bronze medalist.
Oh my God, don't do it.
Robles versus your favorite, my favorite, Chris Huggy Bear Barnett. Let's go, baby. Yeah.
Wow.
It would be so funny, Mike. 5'9" Chris Barnett versus 6'7" Robles de España. Come on. The visuals. Chris Barnett is also a circle, like my new favorite glory kickboxer. And he'll do some wild spinning shit. And Robles will just be chucking him. It's the best fight. I was so happy when I found it. I was like, oh my God, this is my best work.
So I also went with Robles de España. I went the total opposite, though. I went with a big man who Robles is just going to death touch in seconds, who is also a giant man, not as big as Robles, but a giant man. Look, we don't throw Robles in there with wrestlers. We don't throw him in there with seasoned vets. We throw him in there with like-minded, experienced fighters who, let's just be honest, not very good. Give him Austin Lane, man. Just get Mawson Lane. Just let those two guys get in there and just chuck them until Robles hits him once in 8 seconds and knocks him out. Like, let's just do that fight. I'm down. Let's just go. I have to. He was so good. He was so good last night.
My fight is so much funnier than yours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but in execution, I think my fight's going to be pretty funny.
I mean, anytime Robles fights is going to be funny. I think he is a dude who is not going to make you take your time. Like, it's going to be over quickly one way or another. And I respect the hell out of him for that.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the peeps here. Of course, as you guys know, we do have the Super Chat feature. You get to hop the line. I don't care. I got to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. I got to check out of this hotel very soon. I don't care if we have 800,000 Super Chats. We ain't getting all of them if it gets past that time point. But we'll do the best we can. And let's go. So shout out to Miguel, Super Chatter, Jed Mishu AI versus ChatGBT's AI. He goes with Song versus Jonathan Martinez, De Spain versus Romanov. Oh, no. Now we're...
That's the worst idea I've literally ever heard.
And Macy Barber versus Manon Fiorro after she loses to Erin Blanchfield.
De Spain versus Romanov is like a crime. Like, I don't...
You can't do that.
Like, dictatorships are better ideas than that. I don't know what you are thinking other than you just want to get him to lose awfully.
Yeah. Avoid. No Romanov. There's a rule for De Spain. No Romanov, no Marcin Tybura ever.
Yeah. Dude, you could have him fight Jairzinho Rozenstruik if you want him to fight like a ranked dude. Like, that would be a huge step up for no reason. But like, that fight that at least makes some sense. Romanov is awful.
Yeah. All he has to do is just survive 7 minutes and he could win the fight. Lazy Bit likes to Spain versus Jamal Pogues.
Sure.
Michelle Pereira versus Marvin Vittori.
Be popular.
Yeah. Beavis and Butthead with a little bit of doo doo right here. AK is very good at giving the disclaimer. It's basically like we try to focus on the winners. If you want to do the losers, it's fine. You get ought no points solo if you are like super duper original. You're the only one who comes up with it. And if it's a rematch or a third fight, make sure you put the number on it. And if somebody's booked and you don't mention it, then you get a doo-doo. And this is kind of what's happening right here. Michelle Pereira versus Marvin Vittori. Marvin Vittori is booked to main event April 27th? No,
April 6th.
April 6th against Brendan Allen. So he's booked. You know, just throwing a win or lose. Win or lose or when he wins or something of that nature.
I did think about Brendan Allen because Brendan Allen is a super fun fighter, and so that would be fun for Pejeta. But I couldn't take my eyes off the DDP prize. I just that fight has to happen before they're done.
Yeah,
I need it.
Kyler Phillips versus Rob Font, Gamrot versus Dan Hooker.
Oh man, I hate that for Rob Font.
I don't think he gets Kyler Phillips.
And just let Rob fight like someone who sucks. He's been getting just the tar wailed out of him for the last couple of years now. Just fighting super hard dudes and getting the shit beat out of him.
Yeah. I did like the Mario Bautista call out of Rob. I think that fight actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if I like Tyler.
Hard though. Goddamn.
Yeah. There's just no easy fights at 35 for him.
Just fight back for a minute. Just build the confidence.
Beal likes Gamrot versus Hooker as well. Huggy Bear versus Cuban Bear. You got people on board, Jed.
Like, I knew that as soon as I said it, people would be like, yes, please. That sounds delightfully fun.
Tristan likes Michelle Pereira versus Shara Bullitt. I think it's a little too soon for Shara Bullitt.
I also just don't care about Shara Bullitt.
Super chat from Lazy Bed. Jan versus Umar on the Saudi card in June. I mean, if they book it, I'll watch it, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Corey Sandhagen will be fighting Umar, perhaps on the Saudi card. Absolutely possible for that. Corey has said he will fight it. The fight was previously set. Corey's not getting a title fight, so he needs one, and that's Corey gets the Dustin fight, right? Like that. Here's a dude that people are super high on. Not a lot of people are going to want to fight, who's rising. He's got a much bigger name than BSD just because he shares the last name with the greatest lightweight of all time. Corey is making the correct mental calculation to take this fight, and he's going to get it.
Dog the Value Hunter. Picks from 299. Cheeto versus Jan. Phillips versus Jonathan Martinez. I like that fight a lot. That's fun. Linz versus Mirzakhanov. Alma Bayoff versus Durden, Pereira versus Fluffy Hernandez. That's fun. I think Fluffy deserves like a top 10 guy though at this point.
That's the thing, is I think both of them deserve like, I'll just pull it up. Fluffy is ranked in the UFC rankings, but Fluffy deserves to fight upwards, and Pajeda deserves a ranked dude, not just like, all right, you're just going to sneak in and this guy who's on a great run is killing it. Like, let's let middleweight get some transition going here.
Yeah. Joe, Sean Versili in Spain, Corey Marab could fight for the interim title.
We don't watch the same sport if that's the shit you're looking for. Dude, they're not going to Spain until 2025. It's criminal, but it's going to take them forever to go to Spain. Also, the biggest part of the thing that I does not feel like a single person is talking about, because they're all just talking about like, all right, well, it would be ridiculous. It would be like a little ridiculous that Marab gets passed over, but whatever, bro, there's a line of contenders who are viable and good and useful at 145. I love Ilya Topuria. I think he kills all of them, but he needs to do his own work in his own weight class. Like, that's, and we all know that Volk is fighting him next. Like, that's just going to happen. Just let's live in reality, guys.
We'll take a few more. Pereira versus Dalidze from Bleazy. Despain versus the Taffa Williams winner. No, Carl Williams is also on that list of guys you do not throw Despain in there with.
Wow. You're just writing off one of the Taffa bros. I don't remember.
No, I'm just saying Carl Williams' name should not be mentioned in the same sentence as Rebellus Despain, because he's just going to try to wrestle the entire time.
I don't mind Rebellus against either of the Taffas.
Agreed.
Pick one, doesn't matter. That's fine. It's not as fun as Chris Barnett, but it's fine.
I mean, really, what is? Kyler Phillips versus Cheeto. Damn.
I mean, you're
Macy Barber versus Jessica Andrade. Andrade is fighting UFC 300, by the way.
Barber's in a tough spot right now.
She really is.
I don't know what they do with her, because like, somebody said this on one of the things we did this week, Mike. They were like, is Barbara screwed now? Because even if she beats Sermonara, she's not getting a title fight. And that's true. She was not getting a title fight with a win. She wasn't getting one anyway, because there's a woman named Erin Blanchfield who is just waiting to kill everyone and then will finally get a title fight as they drag out the Shevchenko-Grasso rivalry as long as humanly possible because it's tough. But like, I don't know where she goes. Like,
I think I talked about this on one of the shows. I don't know if it was BTL or maybe it was the preview show. I think Macy Barber needs to be the biggest Rose Namajunas fan on planet Earth. Rose Namajunas beats Amanda Ribas. I think that is the best fight she can get right now. And she can kind of hoss around Rose a little bit because she's obviously gonna be way bigger and stronger. My biggest takeaway from watching that Cerminara fight is that Erin Blanchfield is gonna be rough and rugged against Macy Barber. Like, that fight's probably not going well for her.
She can kill her.
That's not gonna be all that competitive.
That's the thing.
Macy is getting better.
Probably gets the winner of Blanchfield Fiorillo, right?
Who?
That Barber. I think that would make a lot of sense timeline wise because Blanchfield Fiorillo are gonna fight and then wait forever because we're doing King Tough.
If I'm Erin Blanchfield, I ain't fighting anybody. If she goes out there and wins, I ain't fighting anybody. Just
wait. I think I would because it's Macy Barber. I'm fucking kill that woman.
Or Juliana Pena wins the bantamweight title. Just go fight Juliana instead.
That's like, fair.
Do that.
That's fair, I guess. I do think that Blanchfield is in, like, I'm normally lockstep. Like, you got a title fight? Absolutely wait. If I'm Shavkat, I would not fight a soul because I can just wait for a title fight. Erin Blanchfield is like maybe one of one fighters. I'm like, it doesn't matter. You're going to kill him. So, like, just fight whoever. It's okay.
Yeah. JDM Shavkat main event in Perth. There is rumors about them going back to Perth, I think in August. And according to those reports, it's going to be a pay-per-view. So that wouldn't mean JDM Shavkat would not main event that card, but
that's so
damn good addition to it.
It's very, very interesting to me that the reports are for a pay-per-view because for the last few years, they have gone to Perth consistently and Australia, and it's always been pay-per-views, but that also lined up with having several fighters in the region with belts. And so they no longer have that. And I kind of thought maybe now we'll just go back to Australia for a fight night, which would be okay. But if they're still committed to it, I'm just sort of interested how that ends up working.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, at the same token, even though it's a month earlier than we would expect, if they ain't getting to Spain, you do Ilya Topuria, Alexander Volkanovski is the main event there.
I mean, you definitely can do that. The last four trips to Australia have all been pay-per-views. But again, they were headlined by Israel Adesanya, Robert Whittaker versus Israel Adesanya, Alexander Volkanovski as Makhachev, and then Israel Adesanya, Sean Strickland. Like, that's just, you could, I mean, you could absolutely do the Volk rematch there, but
sure.
It does feel a little, I mean, it's fine. It just feels like a little disrespectful to Topuria, but it's
a little, but it's, I don't fine. Think Topuria cares. It's going to get pay-per-view points and
you can knock him out again. I doubt he cares.
And they're going to load that card up because Perth pays for it. The Tour Sport pays for it. Nathan Andrews also likes Gamrot versus Hooker, Pereira versus Paul Costa. I would be down for that fight. I don't know if we get it, but I'd watch the shit out of it.
That was actually the name I have written down. And then I was like, sure. And it's kind of fun, but I was much more in love with my Robles pick. So I shifted. I think that fight makes sense. And I think there's actually a decent chance that happens. So.
And why doesn't Barber just move up to 135? Pena beef is there. Division is trash. It's not a bad idea.
I mean, the Pena beef is there, but Pena doesn't even have the belt yet. So it's like, it's fine. It's not a bad idea if Pena wins the belt, but I'm not even sure they would give her the title fight. Because, guys, I don't know if you know this. There's a woman fighting at UFC 300, and assuming she can make the weight,
yeah,
she's going to beat Holly Holm, and she is for sure going to get a title fight off of that. And so there's no need to put Barber in a fast track here.
Yep. Terrence Leverett, thank you. Jan versus Cheeto, someone's first round O has got to go. Yeah, let's just do a one-round fight between those two guys.
God, that'd be awful. Just staring at each other.
Let me see. Do we have anything else? Do we have anything else?
I saw somebody put this one up in the comments, and I just like it because it will never happen for reasons that I understand. Alexander Volkanovski versus Dustin Poirier. And it's like, yeah.
That's
what I said. What I said previously, Volk should just bail on 45. I said that like prior to the second round. It's like, if he really wants to do the lightweight thing, Screw it. Just move up to lightweight. You won't get an immediate title fight, but there are a ton of fun fights at lightweight. We've called for Max to make the move up for years because they're just sick fights at freaking lightweight. I would absolutely love to watch Volk fight some of the top dudes at lightweight. Think you could certainly compete against them, and that would be great. I don't need to see him fight for the title. He's going to do it, and that's totally okay. But like, once he loses to Ilya again, just come up to 155 and do the fun thing. I'd watch the hell out of Volk versus RDA. Why not? Like, let's do stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, everybody. We got to get ready to rock and roll and start packing the rest of my crap to check out of here. AK, excuse me. I think AK is back next week. Be the usual format on the podcast network. We'll obviously have a live on to the next one after UFC 300, April 13th. But next week, Jed, UFC back at the world's most famous Apex with 13 can't miss fights headlined by the heavyweights. Tai Tuivasa versus Marcin Tybura. Brian Battle versus Angelosa. Kennedy and Chichuku versus Ovin St. Preux. Christian Rodriguez versus Isaac Dolgarian. Pani Kianzad versus Macy Chiasson. We got a women's bantamweight fight. How about that? We got a couple. Gerald Meerschaert, Brian Barberena. Mike Davis, Natan Levy is going to be fun as hell. Josiane Nunes versus Chelsea Chandler. Ode Osborne versus Jafel Filio. Thiago Moises versus Mitch Ramirez. Josh Koulibau, Danny Silva. Corey McKenna versus Jacqueline Amorim. And Chad and Ellinger versus Charalampos Gregorio. That is UFC Vegas 88. I don't think the board is going to have 3 stars written on it when we start talking about that card.
It's sure not. This is the most Apex-y Apex card I've seen in some time. There are some things here that aren't bad. There are a lot of things here where it's just like contractual obligations. All right. And a heavyweight main event. Like this is Apex to a T.
It sure is, Jed.
It's terrific to put Tai Tuivasa in front of a crowd. That's maximizing the shoey.
Yes, for sure. We're done. AK and I back next week. Thank you for watching. Thank you for bearing with the early technical difficulties. Thank you for bearing with my voice. But we're done. Lots more to talk about regarding UFC 299 coming up over the next few days. For Jed, I am Mike Heck. We'll see you next week on the program. Always remember, don't take this stuff too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everybody.
Love y'all.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.